Good morning. There's a song you'll hear a little later, after the homily. It's Peter Mayer's song, Everything is Holy Now. For me, there isn't a song that better captures where we find ourselves. Readying for Passover and then Easter, in the midst of a plague, wondering when and how this will all end, and knowing, at our core, that we will be changed by this. So for the next short while, I invite us into the story of Passover, of the story of all seeming ever so lost, right before the moment of freedom from bondage. Some of Peter Mayer's words say this better than I ever could. When I was in Sunday school, we would learn about the time Moses split the sea in two, and Jesus made the water wine. And I remember feeling sad that miracles don't happen still, but now I can't keep track, because everything's a miracle. And he goes on, the refrain that you hear again and again is everything, everything, everything's a miracle. So let us come together in worship. Let us be open to the mundane and the everyday miracles by which we create the world we dream of. Passover story begins when the Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, starts worrying that the Jews living in Egypt will outnumber his own people. His response is to force them into slavery and decrees that every son born to the Hebrews should be drowned in the Nile River. It's a part of the story that for Jews has come to symbolize anti-Semitic persecution more broadly, as well as the historical struggle to endure it. And one baby named Moses is saved from this horrible fate and adopted by Pharaoh's own daughter. When Moses grows up, he's told by God to command Pharaoh to let the Jews go. Pharaoh says no, and God sets out to convince Pharaoh by the way of the 10 plagues. And as the story goes, during the 10th and final plague, God passes through the land of Egypt and strikes down the firstborn of every household. But the Jews have been told to mark their doors with the blood of a lamb they've sacrificed, the Passover offering, and so God passes over their home without harm. Pharaoh's son is actually killed during this final plague. And hearing this, Pharaoh has a change of heart and he lets the Jews go free. And then he changes his mind again, as pharaohs sometimes do. So the ensuing chase ends up with Moses being trapped in front of the Red Sea, before the sea is miraculously parted by God for the Jews to cross, seen as an act of a divine intervention that finally leads Jews to freedom after 40 years in the desert to the land of Israel. That's the short version of the Passover story, and I can't begin to do justice to the whole of it this morning. But what I can tell you as a Jewish UU is that I've taken part in Passover celebrations most years of my life. It's a very ritualistic observation where one reads words from a Haggadah, a liturgy that walks us back through history all the way to the present moment. And personally, I've had a complicated relationship with Passover. I adore the family gathering, and I take spiritual sustenance from it. But the part about the 10 plagues, in which we note and name each and every plague, it's always felt kind of overblown to me. You know, I thought, come on, are we really to believe that plague after plague arrived unrelentingly? And then Trump was elected in 2016. And the plagues, which had always been there, took on a whole new life. The plagues of racism, inequality, damage to this earth, of xenophobia, of white supremacy, of violence against others. The past few years, as I've sat with other beloveds, observing the Passover Seder, that ritual has felt increasingly relevant to where we find ourselves now in our present lives. So we can, and we must, name the plagues and address the plagues of our time if we are to survive them, all of us, together. When COVID-19 began wreaking havoc around the world, Jews almost immediately recognized the parallel. This was the unmistakable plague, the very literal felt one that we simply can't ignore. Is this the 10th one, we wonder? Is this the one before maybe all are truly free? Is this the one that, as lost as we feel right now, will lead us out of the desert of modern affliction? But we can't just yet jump to the end of the story. One of the questions that quite literally keeps me up at night is thinking about those who are still enslaved, those imprisoned, those detained, those held illegally in tent camps at the border, those who will die en masse when this plague passes over them, if they are not first set free. I think, too, about those deemed essential workers, forced to work in supermarkets and as bus drivers, in gas stations and pharmacies, cleaning hospital rooms, those in all sorts of treatment programs or halfway homes, those without housing, those without food, those without medical care. Hundreds of thousands of people could die if they aren't granted some measure of safety and freedom. And that, as much as COVID, is the core plague of our time. Part of the reason I return again and again to reminding us of our responsibility to others is because I believe, with the entirety of my being, that it is not only the right and necessary thing to do, but also it is only by caring for all that all will survive. Jews celebrate Passover each year, not because they survived, but to remind us that in the most unimaginable of circumstances, survival is only possible together. And will some be lost along the way? Heartbreakingly, the answer is yes. Like many, most of you, my grief for this loss is palpable, an ache in my heart, my chest that never fully leaves. It makes no sense to me that many have been and will be taken by this pandemic. And Passover holds that pain at its center. It demands that we honor the loss. It requires that we keep a steady gaze, eyes wide open, even when we want to look away. And at the end, it reminds us that many will be passed over, saved, not because of being chosen, not because of God's power or because any of us are the chosen people, but because humans can and always have had the power to save each other. We, not God, can write the script that will free others from bondage. We, not God, can continue, even in the midst of all this, to keep our eyes on those at most risk. We, not God, can do all we can to ensure that as many as possible survive this modern plague. And when it's over, and it will be one day, we will be that much closer to freedom. We will have begun the changes to free the prisoners from bondage and exile. We will have embodied the divinity, the love that can set us all free. Whether you celebrate Passover or not, you have a part in this exodus. You have an unmistakable role in this long walk to freedom. Whoever we are, wherever we find ourselves, may we create in the here and now the holiness that we search for. May we set free the prisoners, feed the hungry, house the stranger. The world that we dream of, it's not that far off, beloveds. But it means that even now, especially now, we must not lose sight of the plagues, and we have to stay aware, alert to where our help is needed. May we find peace in the world to make it so. Amen. Closing words this morning are by the Reverend Deborah Hafner. We are on a journey. We didn't plan it. We didn't have time for the bread to rise. We may find ourselves in the wilderness, hungry, thirsty, doubting that we should ever have come. But look around. We are not alone. It is our journey together, a journey to our better selves, a journey to a better world, and a journey to a more promised land.